we're going to talk about spiritual warfare.
Sounds like what we got going on right now.
Yeah.
Let's get started.
This is in general what we're going to say. The enemies of the spirit are the world, the flesh, and the devil, and invisible foes. But the bottom line enemy is the mind, because the mind is controlled or operated under the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's its domain. It's won over, or the conquest comes from God's word, from the armor, and from faith. And then the soldier, or the believers, must avoid worldly entanglements, pray, deny self, endure hardness, be alert, be watchful.
What are we talking about right now?
Spiritual warfare. Who are the enemies of the spirit? And what must he do for that warfare?
Okay,
let me go through it again.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so the enemies of the spirit are the world, the flesh, and the devil, externally, but internally it's the mind, because that's the domain. The mind's domain is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's the mind's domain because of the fall. Right? And you win the spiritual warfare. Your weapons are the word of God, and the protection is the armor. And the other winning, you win by faith. And if you're a believer, or the parable's a soldier, you avoid worldly entanglements, you pray without ceasing, you deny self, you endure hardness, you be watchful, and you be sober. But the fundamental enemy, main enemies, of externally, as I said, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but all those are translated into your mind and thoughts. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So that's what we're going to look at. So let's look at what the carnal mind looks at like according to Ezekiel. So let's go to Ezekiel 8.
Carnal mind means the mind of the world, the worldly mind.
Right.
The worldly mind. So a carnal mind is a worldly mind.
Well, a carnal mind is a mind. The only mind that is not worldly is the mind of Christ.
So a carnal mind and a mind are the same thing.
Right. Because the carnal mind, carnal just means a hunk of meat. Your mind is a hunk of meat. Why the mind of Christ is ignoring the hunk of meat by emptying. Well, talk to me. You're.
I don't believe that.
Well, that's okay. What part of it don't you believe?
I don't believe that our mind. I believe that our. Oh gosh.
Well, this is important. Don't say, "Oh gosh." Well, let's start there. We'll start in Romans 8.
All of you said anything that is not of faith is of sin.
Right.
So anything.
I didn't say that. It says it in Romans.
Well, so anything of the mind is sin.
Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's of, because it's of the evil one. What?
I'm thinking of this. Please don't. I'm going as fast.
Well, I couldn't hear what you said.
I'm talking. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So let's look first at Romans 8 real quick. verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because this carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the fundamental predicate. And go to Romans, Ezekiel 8. We've studied this many times, but it's useful to look
Wait,
at.
Don't, let's not go there yet. Let's stay here for a minute.
All right.
For to be carnally minded is death. Yes. I believe that. To be carnally minded is death. Our mind will deceive us. It will lead us. It needs to be... When we are carnally minded, it's death.
Okay.
Be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen.
Okay.
When I heard this, it's like motivation. The carnal mind has agendas, programs.
Exactly.
Looking for ways to solve problems. It's got tons of fears.
Exactly.
The spiritual mind does not engage in those techniques and practices.
But it's a mind. It's a part of the mind. You can't take. You can't say that. I mean, if we're going to call a mind a carnal mind, then there must be a spiritual mind.
There is, but here's the difference.
Yeah.
The spiritual mind abandons the carnal mind. Does not try to engage
in
partnership.
Hey, absolutely. Yeah. I understand that perfectly. But it's still a mind. There's still a part of my mind that wants to repent. That's necessary for repentance. That's necessary for examination. That's necessary for awareness. That might be 0.1% of the capacity of my mind, or the amount of that it engages in me that allows that to happen. That's what allows me to be spiritually minded. Is the emptiness is created when I am aware of what's going on.
When you see something.
When whatever. I mean, I can't speak to specifics because we're speaking in generalities. But that's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I think I'm a lot more on the same page than I think or you think, because it becomes a matter of definition. That I think that's why it says carnally minded. I totally agree with that. To be carnally minded is death. There's no question about it. But there's another part of the mind that allows an awareness that leads to the spiritual mind.
It's called the mind of Christ.
Well, then it's a mind. And,
right.
And then you can't say that your mind, it's too universal, it's too absolute for me. I can't understand that. A mind is not good, but then we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. I understand that. That makes sense to me. But what doesn't make sense is how we continually say, the mind is enmity. The mind is your worst enemy. The mind, the mind, the mind. The mind will take you there if you succumb. And we do. And that's when we need repentance. And when I find myself drifting down those ways, and I can recognize that in my walk, there's an awareness there that says, don't do that. And hopefully, either I stop or someone around here kicks my ass and brings it to my attention, in which case I stop.
But the only definition of a spiritual mind is the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ...
Is there a part of my mind that's the mind of Christ?
No.
None?
None. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God. And the definition of equal there is this, what's the beginning, the test to know good and evil.
Isn't Christ in you the hope of glory, a part of the mind of Christ?
Jesus Christ in you is... the only mind, and his mind as Son of Man empty.
I can't do this. This doesn't make sense. We're talking in circles.
No, we're not. We're talking.
No, we are. I ask a question and I don't really feel like I'm getting an answer.
Okay, let's go to Philippians.
And I don't care to go to Philippians. Talk to me, please. Just tell me. I don't doubt that that's what it says. You've read it. I've read it 100 times. I know that.
What part of your mind do you think is good?
What part of my mind do I think is good? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that any part of my mind is good. I'm going to tell you that I need to use my mind to, maybe it's not my mind that I'm using, but I do not believe that it's totally enmity with God. I think there's a part of it that allows me to get closer to God. I think that I have.
Right, there is. There's the one thing that the mind can do.
Well, then how can you say the whole mind is enmity when there's this one thing, you know, it either is or it isn't. And
the one thing it can do is repent and abandon.
I know that. You told me that 100 times. I understand that.
Okay. Nothing, then therefore that's
my
that's,
mind doesn't repent. My mind doesn't have the capacity to repent.
You have the capacity to see fruitlessness. You have the capacity to see whether or not what you're doing is gives you sustenance and satisfaction.
Agreed. That's okay. Part of examination,
okay.
Awareness.
Well, that happens, whether you're a believer or non-believer. You come to a point...
Whoa. Just a minute.
I wasn't a believer.
Okay.
But I repented without knowing it. I said... that's what I want. I don't care what it costs me. It costs me everything. Now, that has not changed since the beginning. Since January 17th, 1972. Now, I came to a point where I was in exactly the same position, where I said, there must be something good. There must be some reason. And therefore, I said, this scripture can't be right. This experience I had can't be right. And so I spent 12 years trying to find a way in which I could save myself, or save any part of my mind, to save so I could have a life, so I could have a right.
I'm not asking for that.
No, I'm just telling you what my experience was. It was very similar to what you're going through right now. That's why I spent all those years trying to find it, trying to justify the use of my mind. I don't know of anybody that worshiped their mind more than I did.
I don't know about that statement, worshiping your mind.
You get worship just means give importance to. That's what the word worship means. This whole mystery of God is dependent on the idea that the whole God had a fail-safe system. And that fail-safe was repentance. So that flesh and blood could not inherit the kingdom of God. And so Christ, as Son of Man, had the same mind you and I do. The same nerve paths, the same everything. But he found something out. He found out, with all the power and the intellect that he had, he found out that the mind was fallen and it can't be fixed. And that was certified at his baptism.
The mind had fallen and can't be fixed.
Remember this thing about Adam and Eve were created in innocence. The innocence was to be transformed into holiness by antagonism. And God tried everything, time after time after time, until the last day when the last test was when Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
So, mind, evil. Carnal mind, bad. Spiritual mind, good.
It goes beyond those definitions. It goes either fallen or not fallen.
What's the fallen mind?
That's
I know.
The mind is the snake.
Is there an unfallen mind?
Mind of
Christ.
But the mind of Christ is only because he has emptied it. As Son of Man, he emptied, he made void by ignoring the mind of the flesh. The carnal mind.
Say that again, please.
He made void by emptying, paying no attention to the carnal mind.
He made void by not paying attention to the carnal mind.
Right. Except there are three places where he did pay attention to it.
Made void.
Emptied. Ignored.
Emptied, ignore mean the same thing?
It's to see the full, the word for that we talk about that means empty. It's the same word for vanity. It means it's full. It's only vain. It can only produce emptiness.
So again, I say, so where does the awareness of this vanity come from?
That's the singular thing that the mind can do is see the emptiness. See the.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. It just doesn't make sense. It seems like it's so easy to get there. Every time we come up against it, we just run around the corner and say that. I
run around the corner?
Yeah, because there is no mind, and all of a sudden, oh, yes, there is. There is no mind except this.
One that
mind can do nothing. It's under God, except it can do this.
Mind can do nothing except repent. I've said that from the beginning.
I know you have.
This is the biggest.
I'm not telling you that when I worship my mind by your definition, and I understand that. I'm not sure worship is the right word, but if you worship your mind, repentance is in order real fast.
Well, just give importance to.
Okay, give importance to it.
Pay attention to.
All right. The necessity of repentance is on you. You're out of line. You're walking down a path that's a dangerous path. There's no question of that. I believe that. I know that. How do I know I'm going down that path? Do I have to wait for somebody to tell me?
What happens, all I can tell you is what happened with me.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you by scripture, I can point scripture after scripture after scripture, but you don't want to hear that. You want me to talk to you, so I'm talking to you.
The scriptures don't help me.
Well, then you're in deep shit.
Well, maybe that's why we're having.
Because you don't believe the scriptures, apparently. What do you mean the scriptures can't help you? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard you say.
The sometimes when I read the scriptures, they don't make sense to me.
And when they, what happens then?
What happens then is I'm flustered. I don't know. I listen to you. I listen to the Bible study. I listen. I try to make sense of it.
Okay. Why not just say repent?
Well, that too.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Every time. I can only tell you by experience, again, since that's what you want to hear.
Yeah,
I can only tell you by my own experience that for all those years, whenever something didn't make sense, wherever something seemed to be a contradiction, I wasted months and years then trying to study harder.
I know.
And it didn't work. It still didn't make sense until I finally said, Father, forgive me.
And then it worked?
Then I saw the meaning of it. Then everything made sense.
Well, it doesn't.
Why does it trouble you so bad to say that the mind can do only one thing that pleases God?
Because you tell me the mind is enmity with God.
Pardon?
Because on the other hand, you tell me that God, the mind is enmity with God.
It is until that point.
See, there you go. It is until... It is a
why is that so hard for you to believe? Why is it so hard for you to believe that the mind can only do one thing that pleases God?
because that seems to come up against
the evil mind. The mind is evil. It's enmity. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And why is it so hard to believe that as Son of Man, Christ went through the same thing that you're going through right now?
I didn't say it was hard to believe.
Well, it is for you.
How do you... Please don't...
Well, because you say that it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me. There are parts of it that do not make sense.
Okay, well, one of the things that doesn't make sense is that the mind is only capable of one thing that pleases God.
And that is repentance.
Right. Repentance meaning to totally ignore.
How did you get to repentance?
By doing exactly what you're doing.
Don't say that. Tell me, what do you do to repent?
You get so frustrated that nothing else works.
You have to have a recognition that something is wrong, something is amiss.
Amen. So for me, the only thing that you know that something is wrong and amiss is by the Word of God. You know it before.
The red words or the whole scripture?
I just despise that there are red words.
Well, you told me one time that this book is not a how-to. It's the word about the word, I think is what you said.
Amen.
It's the word about the word. Well, Paul was a man. He wrote this stuff, and we're parsing words that were written by a man. That bothers me a little bit.
Well, again, so let's forget Paul a minute and go back to the Old Testament.
Whomever.
Yeah, and because it's parsing it, it's because we parse it in order to make it understandable.
That's not working for me.
I notice. But
let's talk to me. The thing that's my biggest stumbling block is this business about the mind. That does not work for. I can't understand that. I can't fathom that. Even if I put myself in a spiritual mode, and I try to think outside of the box or something, and recognize the spirit, recognize miracles or something. On one hand we do it. On the other hand we don't. On one hand we can do it then because it's called this, but it's really that. But it's just too confusing for me. I can't follow it.
To put yourself in a spiritual mode is simply another act of the evil one.
To put yourself in a spiritual mode, I don't know what that means.
It means that that's the secret of the power of the evil one.
Is to do what?
Is to cause you to think your mind can do something. Like put yourself in a spiritual mode.
But my mind can do something. It can bring me to repentance.
But again, that's it. All right. Why is it so hard to believe the only thing the mind can do is repent? That pleases God. Why is that so difficult?
Because it gives the mind a chip.
It
gives
It
gives the mind value. The mind ultimately has value, and yet the mind is totally in enmity against God. You just can't have it both ways. Either is or it isn't, and that's the problem with absolutes. The mind is absolutely evil, but it will get you across the finish line.
Well, again,
my mind, I corrupt my mind because I allow it. I don't get in the way of it. I don't say stop. I let it go, and then maybe even one blade of grass at a time, like we talked about. I'm out in China someplace, and that's why I live here, because I expect the people around me to say to me, "What are you doing, dude? Sit down." And that happens, and I'm grateful for it. But I cannot understand. The mind is enmity with God. That statement just that just is like a. Like fingernails on a blackboard to me. The mind is enmity with God. I understand it. I understand the ramifications of it. And I say, okay, that's something I need to contend with. That's something I need to rock. And it's difficult because I'm a human and I have a mind and I don't want to do that. But okay, I'll do that. But then on the other hand, here it comes from the other side saying, except for when this happens. Except for
well,
when
this happens. Let me make it different. Let me talk about it a little differently then. The issue isn't that the mind repents. The issue is that it's seeing that what that is doing, what the mind is doing in any arena, produces nothing but a puff of smoke, something worthless.
I think that that's probably a valid statement. I'm not sure,
okay,
because it's coming at me quickly. But, however...
Just a minute.
Okay.
No, however, a minute.
Okay.
Then by the mercy of God, when you see that place of futility and have no other options, there's
mm-hmm.
nothing else that happens. And the Holy Spirit comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes here and visits.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is what produces repentance.
If you told me that the carnal mind was enmity with God, I can understand that. I believe that. The carnal mind is enmity with God.
Well, let's
put it. The spiritual mind is not. And that's what you're referring to, I think, in the second part of what you're discussing here, is the spiritual mind. And I'm entitled to that. I'm entitled to a spiritual mind. It's the mind of Christ.
Okay, but the mind of Christ, he does nothing of himself.
I don't know what that means.
It means nothing that he's doing originates with him.
Amen. Nothing?
Nothing that he does or says originates from him.
That seems to be...
Well, I know that, but
I'm comfy.
Let's can we go to the scriptures?
Yeah.
John chapter 5. No wonder I can't find it. I'm looking at John chapter 6. Excuse me. Let's first look at verse 19.
Oh, red words.
Starting verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of or from himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Somehow there's a clear channel. There's a instant opening, instantaneous place between him and the Father. It doesn't filter through what we call our mind. Does that make sense?
I'll accept that. Yeah. I mean,
Let me say.
That's beyond my comprehension.
Well, but
the fact that there's a Father and a Son and it's one guy speaking to each other. I mean, I can't.
Well, it's just the Word made flesh.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I think I understand what you're saying.
Now let's look at all the animal kingdom and everything except man. Let's look at the hummingbirds. These little hummingbirds that are so incredibly beautiful and unable to understand. Every year, they fly all the way across the Gulf of Mexico and they mate and have kids or have in that place, and then they all fly back. Let's take the whales. All the whales can travel 3,000 miles back and forth from their place where they were born to go down to feed and come back again.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Every one of those things that we can think about.
It's beautiful.
It's what we consider at some deepest part in our heart or inner person mind-bending and impossible. How did they do it? It's impossible to understand. How does a seed grow and produce a tree? These are the mysteries. All I'm saying to you is that your being, without that fall meaning you able to see what is good and evil, right and wrong, or whatever one of the contrasts you want to do it. Before then, that was not there. There was no consciousness of themselves. It was just a living. There was no separation between them and the Father. And in Christ, we return to that innocency. How long shall ye return to innocency? And that innocency is called faith, where it doesn't pass through what the scriptures call the carnal mind, or what I call just our mind.
Well, maybe I'm agreeing with everything you say except that last statement, because I want to say to you that the carnal mind is enmity with God, but I also maintain that my emptiness that's produced in me through repentance is a spiritual mind.
Is the mind of Christ. That's what it says.
Well, then why are we arguing? We're arguing.
I don't know why.
We're arguing. No, it's not argument. I'm asking you. I'm begging you to explain this to me. Anybody. I keep coming back to this. The mind is enmity with God. But then it isn't. Because the spiritual mind is the mind of Christ. And we're supposed to empty so that we can attain the spiritual mind and have the mind of Christ.
The only way.
You say to me, how can I not understand this? Well, I'm telling you why. It doesn't make sense.
Here's the way I understood it.
Hold on, one more thing. It doesn't make sense because I go back to the basis, which is the mind is enmity with God.
Okay, that's good. Now, let's go back to Jesus. If you study it, the issue right there, I spent more time in the New Testament than any other thing. What the hell does this thing called the mind of Christ mean?
Oh, I think I know that. I think I have an understanding of that.
It means
empty.
But the only time, but again, the only time he gave any breath to it was when, just before his crucifixion, then in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then on the cross. That's the only time that's recorded in the scriptures that he gave any importance to what his mind was telling him. Now, if you don't believe that, I don't know what else to say. I can only tell you that let's look at some more in John 5.
Please don't tell me what I believe and don't believe, because I don't know what I believe and don't
believe. All right. Then verse 30 of John 5. I can do of mine own self nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. Now, that's humongous.
That's the product of emptiness. That's the product of being empty.
Right.
And I'm totally with you on that. When I am empty, I said this before, emptiness produces this state where something happens and you're not even aware of it.
Right.
Now, couldn't you also say there, I can't of my own mind do nothing?
That's right.
Okay.
That's because who is the self?
It doesn't say that.
Self.
Who is your self? Their self is nothing but your mind.
I can't of my own self do nothing. Okay.
I can't of my own mind do nothing.
I see where you're going with that. Okay. But the flip side of that is, I need to the mind, the spiritual mind. To enter into this somehow. without an examination, without frankly using what I think or what I perceive to be my mind. It might be the spiritual mind. I'm not using my mind for cunning to take advantage or to. I have to consider.
But
can you consider without using your mind? Can you do that?
No,
I don't think so either.
That's why the considering. Again, that's why the scriptures assume that you've seen the end at your baptism.
But at your death, I'm
that, that. Be, no, it's your burial.
Well, I'm not up with that.
Okay, and so, but the scriptures also give rise to keep reminding you of that, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
And how do you do that?
Any thought that doesn't stand the test if it's finished has to be worthless.
Doesn't that require some consideration?
It does, but all of that consideration was thought to have been done, was assumed to have been done in the baptism.
I see.
It might
have been a big assumption on my part.
That's true. It wasn't for all. So that's why the scriptures have, throughout the New Testament, these exhortations to return to that place.
Return to the place of your burial.
Mm-hmm. Now, because that's why it's so important to understand that the only three times that it's recorded that Jesus paid attention to his natural mind, a son of man, was those three excruciating places.
Yeah, I know.
Now, and what did he do in each case?
He repented of it.
But in the other cases, what he saw the Father doing. It was as instantaneous as boom. There was no Satan's half second.
Oh, I can't do that.
The reason that you can't do it is you're still in the position of examination. And that's fine. But don't deny the possibility. If you deny the possibility of total 100% abandonment of self.
I don't deny that.
Okay.
Don't accuse me of that.
Listen to me. What I'm saying to you is if you think that part of your mind has worth, then you will never come to the understanding of the total abandonment of yourself.
Is worth? How does worth and necessity? How do those two words balance? How do those two words? Equate?
Because, in a set, it has some purpose. If you think that you have a spiritual mind, then you have.
I'm not sure that my spiritual mind isn't infused by Jesus, so that I can come to that conclusion. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to do that.
You get there exactly by what you're doing and testing it against every possible thing. And that's one of my jobs, is to push you to that test. That's the preaching of the cross. Can you accept for a minute, for instance, can you accept that Babylon is cause and effect?
Can I?
Yeah.
I believe in cause and effect. Babylon, I don't know what that means.
Well, it means that that's an evil place.
It's an example I understand what you're saying.
Okay, then can you conceive of a time in which you would never again be a partaker of cause and effect?
I have a hard time doing that.
I understand that, but can you conceive that it's possible? Let's say that in Christ, in the mind of Christ, there was a cause and effect was gone forever. Christ, in the mind of Christ, as Son of God,
cause and effect was gone forever.
Subject,
he was not subject to cause and
right.
effect.
Right. And therefore, that's why we are. There were no modifiers to his name. Like he wasn't. He was to his being. He was an I am. And that's what we are called, the I am people. We have no modifiers. And that because we are totally alien to this system and everything, to the mind, to everything. We are alien to everything that we can conceive of by our mind. You know, for instance, there's no way in the universe that my mind could have conceived eternity or with no place of no time. That's a biggie. Because everything about this is eternity. That's where we're supposed to be living. That's what it means to let your speech be seasoned with salt. That's what it means. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Speaking only from that place in eternity, on the mercy seat. So your speech is seasoned with salt. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. But that obedience is exactly that, that it's worthless. It's abandoned. Every aspect is abandoned.
Should be abandoned.
Hmm?
Should be abandoned.
Well, in the kingdom of God, it is abandoned.
Well, obedience is impossible without your total surrender. And I, boy, that's a... Wow.
The ways that, the only thing I'm going to say but while leaving is I have made an error, and it's been clear this morning for the first time, when I say that your mind can do nothing but repent. What I should have said and will always say from now on, that your mind can do nothing.
Well, I think what you shouldn't have said is that your mind is total enmity with God. It comes from...
Well, I didn't say that.
That's a scripture.
Oh, that's a scripture. Scripture, yeah.
Yeah.
This is carnal mind, though. So also there's these modifiers, you know? That's the part that freaks me out.
All right, hear me. Hear me then. The only way the Holy Spirit comes and produces repentance in you is when you reach the end of self.
Again, I'm sorry.
The thing that happens, the mind doesn't produce repentance. Holy Spirit does.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I understand. I believe that.
But he only produces repentance when you've come to the end of all other things.
I totally agree with that.
Okay, so then from now on, I will never say again the mind can do nothing but repent. It can only repent by the power of the Holy Spirit when you've come to the end of it.
Is it an automatic?
No. Because God knows whether you're...
It requires something.
God knows whether or not you've come to the end of yourself, really.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, my God, there's a million foxhole conversions that are meaningless.
Right. Get me out of this even and I'll never do it again. Mantra of Wall Street.
Amen. Well, get me the same. It's a mantra of me as a drunk. I don't have to worry about Wall Street.
I'm sorry, I'm cooked. I gotta go.
Well, that's fine, but I'm just saying, I'm never again going to say the mind can do nothing except repent.
You're going to strike that?
Strike it.
Okay.
Because it's only the Holy Spirit that causes you to repent at that point.
Okay, that makes it a little clearer because I'm having a difficult time between this diversion. There's two things. There's a dichotomy here.
Okay, but now does that make it that there maybe isn't a dichotomy?
It makes it like there isn't a dichotomy, but it makes it like a little bit of a cop-out, too. Like, how do I massage this so that I can make it make sense?
That's when you stop doing even that.
Carnal mind and spiritual mind. Those things are important.
One is meat, one is spirit.
Oh, fine. One is meat, one is spirit. One is man, one is God.
One gives no thought for tomorrow. One gives no thought for itself.
Absolutely, but they have to have... consideration. There needs to be an awareness. There needs to be an awareness.
Only that awareness comes.
How can you? How can you?
Listen.
Listen. Let me finish this. How can you make? I want to go. I got an appointment. How do you do this without a realization that you're going down the wrong path? It's an awareness. It's a consideration.
Read James 1 about wisdom.
Well, let me say
it
again.
Wisdom enters into it, yeah.
Ask God.
Yeah, you're right.
He'll show you.
Yeah, let me say that this path as we're on, is every day, every second, becomes narrower and narrower and narrower narrower and narrower until it's one micron. Until there's absolutely nothing left of your identity or any possibility of using your mind. So everything is abandonment. That's what the path we're on is doing.
I'm amen.
All right. That's enough. That's a good place to stop.
Okay.
Take it back.